You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 187. My name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. With me co-hosting, as usual, is Hyung of Integrity Sports Cards. And John, he's back, and he is Trade You at Recess on Instagram as well. Okay, off the top, guys. The new design for the 2024 Top Series 1 baseball cards has been revealed. It kind of has this inner thin electric looking border, and it looks like the space between this inner border and the outer border is where you'll see the different color and patterns of the various parallels. So yeah, quick initial thoughts from you guys. What do you guys think of the new design for the 2024 Topps Series 1 and 2?
You know what? At first, I wasn't a fan, I would say. It was kind of boring. Kind of like it was okay. It was very basic, but I think it's growing on me a bit, and I think I just think paper doesn't look as good as it used to. I could see that product doing like being really nice chrome product, but I do like the Independence Day. I guess you guys seen the ID sample.
I did.
So that the last 3 years have been rough with paper parallels. So I would say, overall, I wouldn't say I'm thrilled. Like, I would say 2018 obviously was one of my favorite sets, period. Yeah. 2019 was okay, but they had the full paper parallels, so that was kind of like the bonus. And then 2020 went downhill. 2021 got better, but not so great. 2022 I liked. 23 was okay, with the picture on the side, I guess the bottom corner with their headshots. Like, yeah, so that was cool, but some of the paper parallels were kind of weak because it was just borders, right? So that was kind of my only knock on it, I would say. Yeah, like, to me, I know over time, as long as the rookie class is strong, it should be kind of like dictated on that. So I think if the rookie class is strong and they'll have like nice rookies out of that set, I think it will become more iconic than it is.
Sure. Good point. I can see that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. If the rookie class is strong, at the end of the day, it won't matter anyways. But yeah, you guys know, like we kind of chatted before, like I don't like it at all. And it just looks so cheap. I don't know. It looks like it's a cross between Topps Fire and Cosmic. I don't know. It's got this kind of like cheap vibe to it. Like, I mean, I was on record, and I know a lot of people didn't like last year's, but I was on record when that first came out. I loved it. I thought it was one of the better ones in a long time. So I'd imagine and this is such a drastic change from last year's design. Because last year was that classic white border, went back with like that retro, like the Tony Gwynn era of Topps, like the 84 or whatever that year was.
Right.
So I'm a bit of an old head, so it spoke more to me. So I think whoever liked last year is probably going to hate this year's, and whoever is kind of on board with this year's probably were the ones that hated last year. So I could understand, but not a fan of this year's.
Okay. I feel like I'm more with Hyung. Like, it's kind of grown on me slowly. Even like the parallel when I saw the Independence Day, definitely it's better than last year. I think Will in our chat group said it's better this year than last year. But I was gonna say, like, last year, that's a low bar. You know, it's just had stars. You don't even know that it's an Independence Day card. Right. Whereas this, you can kind of see the flag, you know? So it's way
still
better.
Just
this
on the
year.
Border, but at least at least it's an actual graphic of the flag, right? Instead of just
You got the stars
red
and
dots
stripes.
Or red stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And what it reminds me of is like like the actual regular cards with the Rangers or the team name on the top right corner. It's like the open diner.
Yeah, the neon, like the like, neon bright neon diner. Sign.
Yeah.
But the concerns, so I'm not the concerns sure how- too, is like I was reading somewhere where they're mentioning how in order for that neon sign to pop, they needed to put a black border around it. But then that was kind of the concern is the chipping on black borders, how hard it is to
on the top
gem. Yeah, on the top, right? Because it's dark on the top of the card and then fades to kind of like a white. So I don't know if that will affect grading. That's what people claim. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's valid. It's a valid point, I would say. The black borders, it might be tougher to gem, but modern cards shouldn't be tough to gem overall, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially to be honest, it's probably straight out of the pack. Yeah.
It's probably a good thing that.
What do you mean?
Of the 500,000 base cards of each player, only, you know, a select thousand or a handful of them will get PSA 10s or that will gem. That'll probably make it better for collectability, for collector wise. So.
Right. Well, I want to bring one more thing up about this. I don't know if you saw it, but for the ones that are the rookies, I guess there's a first card logo or an indicator. Yeah.
Like the bottom. First chrome, like that first.
Kind of like that. Yeah. What? Around like
you
the
you can't I kill think, that brand. Hopefully it's something. I didn't see it though, but hopefully it's not like the first Bowman.
So the confusion is that like the Ellie De La Cruz card, it'll say first card and one of the mock-up had it, one of the mock-up cards didn't have it. So we don't know if it's actual a thing, but I'm not sure how I feel about that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, what's that all about? Mm. Like, what's the purpose for it? Like, I think it's part of the hobby is kind of like doing your research, finding out what cards were like that flagship type rookie card, that what, you know what I mean? Instead of like Topps telling you, this is the first card. So it's like, you know, it's marked. Yeah. I don't know if it's serving the purpose. I don't know.
Yep. We'll see. We'll see if it's a thing. Yeah. Or if it's just a one-off. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that either. Okay, well, I'm still going to buy a box, probably.
Absolutely. That has nothing to do with the design.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll rip a box open, and then we'll put it up on YouTube. Okay, let's just move on now to hobby headlines. All right, also just announced this past week from Topps is the 2023 card of the year, and I believe it was done by voting online. And the winner is the 2023 Topps Definitive Dual Autograph Baseball Card featuring Shohei Ohtani's autograph as well as Babe Ruth's cut auto. We did talk about this on a previous episode, and you know, we got our thoughts on that. Before I ask you guys what you think of that being the winner, the other nominees were Anthony Volpe's MLB debut patch auto, right? We talked about that extensively as well. Tom Brady's gold inscription Bowman draft card, where he wrote, if baseball doesn't work out, there's always football. We also talked about that in a past episode. And Shohei has another card in this category, and that was the Topps Now WBC card of him striking out Mike Trout, his former teammate. So first, do you agree with the final result, the final voting result? And if not, which one would you have picked?
100% agree based on that, because it was the year of Shohei. It's not like Volpe, you know, had an MVP season or anything. You know what I mean? So for me, it kind of has to go to like the guy who dominated 2023. So for me, it's like, yeah, it'd be cool collectible for a Tom Brady or whatever, but Shohei did special things in 2023. So for me, it has to be along those lines. So two of those cards get disqualified. And then like the Babe Ruth cut, like, I mean, that's a pretty big card, right? So to me, it's inevitable. Right. Yeah. It's like there's no way fake Tom Brady card. Cause that's like Darren Fletcher.
Right. Oh yeah. That's right.
Oh, so disappointed. Darren Fletcher but, was I mean, a stud.
Yeah.
Toronto Blue Jays and Montreal fans know. Expos fans know. But yeah, that's Darren Fletcher's body.
That's like another whole another episode, but I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, a little surprised by that. Anyway, how about you, John? What would your vote have been for?
You know what? I think I agree. I mean, if that's the top four, I mean, the Babe Ruth, in terms of single cards, it's probably the winner. But in terms of if we had a major, you know, generational rookie, and it happened to be also the debut of the MLB patch, I probably would have gave it to the MLB patch. I think the MLB patch, the innovation behind it, like the whole idea, I think that's the winner. But you can't. This is card of the year. It's a single card. So yes, it's going to go to Shohei and Babe. That's completely fine. But had it been anyone, you know, like a really, really superstar rookie, J-Rod, you know, if it was J-Rod's year, or, you know, if it was Acuña, like another Acuña type of sort of almost like a generational star, I think that one could have taken the cake. So,
All right. You know what? I'm going with the Anthony Volpe MLB debut patch. That's what my vote would have been. Yeah, and it's kind of like what you're talking about, John. Like, I think, just what, you know, what it took to get that card, you know, produced. And it's a one of one, and it has significant meaning, right? Like, to the player. And this is the first year that it's been offered. And if it becomes an annual thing, which we have no reason to think otherwise, then I think it can be a huge card. And Anthony Volpe had a pretty good season too. Like, we're not talking about a scrub either, right? And,
right, yeah.
You know, can he build on that? Like, can he be a next, like, a really good player?
I think if it was, right? If it was like a Corbin Carroll, I think I would have probably went along those lines. But I think Volpe just didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, he's still young. I still believe in Volpe. So it's like, this could age wrong for, I guess, my opinion, but it's more the impact that player had, I think, for me, and what that card means.
Fair enough. And you know what? It could age really wrong for me too. Volpe could just be a scrub at the end of the day. You know, so it could go either way. All right. So that being said, you know, I want to extrapolate this. You know, think about if there was going to be a sports card Hall of Fame, right? Ooh. And we get to nominate cards, you know, not just 2023, but cards of all time. Which cards would you nominate and why? Okay, and before you answer, you know, some criteria to consider might be the aesthetics, you know, the look and design of the card, like we were talking about on Off the Top with the Topps design. It could be hobby relevance, you know, and it could also be, I'm not sure if value is a good criteria, but it kind of goes hand in hand with rarity. Okay, like that's how I'm thinking about it.
So, like iconic ish or no? Like, or is it more? Because then you could break down in parallels, for instance. Like, how do you determine? Kind of like, I see. I would want the super fractor, for instance, on everything, or the one of one.
Right. That's a good question.
Or are we just saying generic card? Like, it's not like it's like a Independence Day version of that. It would be just the Acuña
Topps update
and all the parallels, we'll say.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Especially if it's of all time, because, you know, the vintage cards wouldn't have
the parallels. Yeah, exactly. It's the image or the card itself that's iconic. Yeah. So every image of that card
makes sense. Agreed. Okay. I think, there you go. There's the nomination criteria. So I was, you know, off air, I was talking about doing a draft style, but, you know, let's just take turns, you know, and if one of us picks yours, then you got to choose another one. Okay. So who wants to have pick number one?
Ooh,
I'll go first.
So, go for it.
52 Mantle is number one.
I think you have to,
yeah.
get that all the like 48 leaf Jackie, you know.
Like, okay, that's what you're going for.
Yeah, I'm going vintage first. Like, you kind of have to respect that, and then we'll go modern. We won't go all. Yeah,
sure. I would go. The 52 man, of course, it should be there, right? But like, what makes
you're talking
it...
Hall of Fame, right? Sports card Hall.
I think the story 100%. Too. Yeah. The story behind it and the rarity. I think that's what
the
always
boxes being thrown out into the Hudson River.
Yeah, and it was such a. After that, it was such a desired card in the hobby, and it basically, in my opinion, made the whole hobby, especially in the last like 3 years. Like that, and that's how you know that that card is number one, because it's the most expensive card that exists today.
Yeah, yeah. You know, of course I would agree. I was just playing devil's advocate because, you know, Mickey Mantle, would you say he's the best Yankee ever? No,
never,
right?
Never. Yeah. Like,
not even by, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but to your point,
but the popularity, there's the hobby of Mickey relevance. Mantle, right? He's like the Ken Griffey of his time, not necessarily the best player of all time, but he just had that.
True.
The sex appeal, right?
I agree. Yeah. And you're saying 48, Leaf, Jackie.
Jackie, yeah, I got to put that up.
Yeah,
there.
That's a big one. Honus Wagner.
That's on my list as well.
The T206. Honus Wagner probably could. Yeah, that could be a number one for many people.
Okay, so we got the vintage out of the way. Let's go modern. This is more interesting, I think. If you're going to nominate a modern, this is a modern subcategory. What would you put up there? I'll go first.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, since the Albert Pujols Bowman Chrome rookie autograph.
Yes, definitely.
I think that's anyone that's a Bowman Chrome collector, Albert Pujols, the rarity, it was a redemption card. And, you know, like how many of those redemption cards are lost now, right? Or can't redeem them. So it's not even 500 of them like it should be, right? So you got that. Pujols obviously has a Hall of Fame career. So yeah, that's kind of, and the, you know, Bowman Chrome, that Pujols card kind of is what makes old school collectors want the first Bowman Chrome because of, you know, the trend that Pujols card started, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's true. You're not going in order though, right? You're just saying we're just spitballing. Because you just put Albert Pujols at five.
I would put
potentially.
I don't think we're ranking these, but I think for me, I'm just thinking of, like, for instance, I would say Trout's Bowman Chrome 09, which Clark, you have one. But for me, it's the relevance of how impactful he was on the hobby. The boom was based on his cards, actually, with Vegas Dave. You know what I mean? Like the record sales of, you know, the red and orange version of that card. And anybody who's come into the hobby, you know, in the last 5 years knows that that was untouchable. That was the card to get in the hobby. So I got to say Mike Trout's Bowman first Chrome as well.
I like that. I second it. John?
Well, for me, I got to go one of my top five all-time iconic. It's the 86 Flair Jordan. Okay, not pick that one.
Right.
Get the easy ones out of the way. You guys are kind of, for me, you guys are going, you're a little lower on the list, way down the list, but
yeah. We're not going in order. We're just, you know, throwing it out there.
Yeah.
You know, the only knock with the 86 Fleer is this is the pop count, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know if we need to discount that a little bit, you know?
That's true. We're talking like iconic and what we would put into the sports card Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. And through rarity, Clark did mention rarity would play.
Rarity. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize you mentioned
rarity. Scarcity. Okay. I would say, right?
But I mean, like MJ would be an exception, right? Like
you got to have, you know, MJ.
Even
like Gretzky, MJ, like the Jeter foil, like Upper Deck 89.
The GOATs.
Ken Griffey.
They're grandfathered in. Yeah. We're talking now. Yeah. Fast forward. Who gets the next?
Yes. Yeah, this is good. Like now it's like
we're making stuff
all
up.
All those are grandfathered in.
Yeah.
this is like
so we get the top 15, top 20 out of the way. I think there's a group in there, and then now we're talking a little bit later in the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it gets
harder then. It's a lot harder.
Right. I think there's a few out there though.
Yeah, like what's one that you would nominate, but it might not get the votes. It might be like a 50-50 split. So, for example, let me throw this out there. This is like more ultra modern. The Luka Doncic Panini Prism Rookie.
Right.
Like
during the hype, that was.
That could be 50-50.
No, I think it has to be in there. Absolutely. I would have had that in my list. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of sports card Hall of Fame, like, to me, it's the backstory. It's like how iconic that card was and is.
It was the card of coming out of into the COVID era.
Yeah. And if you're talking about scarcity, if you have any of those parallels, you're going to do very good with it, I think. I don't think it's going to be like long term. I think it's still going to hold enormous amounts of value in terms of numbered cards if you're in it for the long game. So, like for me, Luka would have been in there for sure. Okay. But then you could even put like NTs in there, I guess, too, right? Like his NT.
That's true.
And flawless stuff. Like it's just like, whoa, that stuff is like big time cards,
right? Yeah. Now, would you guys put Billy Ripken's FF on there?
I would not. Me personally, I would not.
Yeah, I would draw the line there. Yeah.
I think it's a cool card. Era cards were a thing of the 90s, and because there's parallels wasn't even thought of yet. Era cards were the scarcity.
No name Frank Thomas.
Same as Bill Ripken. I don't know.
Really? The no name?
Error cards is kind of in its own category for me. Like, I don't know if they should be in the Hall of Fame.
I think it's more so Frank Thomas. He's the Hall of Famer, right? So it's like, there's not really great Frank Thomas cards out there. I would say that's one of his.
None.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, like rewarding that mistake. putting it in the Hall of Fame now. it's like,
but it.
Well, if you compare it to Billy Ripken, though, like I'm just saying, it's like that's the difference. Is let's talk why someone like Frank Thomas would get in over Billy Ripken. It's not necessarily just an error card. It's Frank Thomas. He is a Hall of Fame. Billy Ripken. Understood. There's no baseball backing that FF card. Like absolutely not.
right.
Okay. How about that? With that said. If it was Cal Ripken with that FF card, just say Cal Ripken wrote that.
Yes, I would. That be? 100%.
Oh, it's in for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's totally different story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. I see how you're thinking.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think Cal Ripken's rookie should be in there somewhere.
I got one for you guys.
Okay.
I'm going to switch sports. 2001, SP Authentic. Tiger Woods, auto.
Oh boy!
Oh, I don't know if I would.
Really? I don't know if I would.
No.
You know why? Here, I'll explain why. Golf carts aren't really a thing.
Okay.
You know, like there are some big time golf carts, right? But like, if I'm going to the Sports Cart Hall of Fame, I'm like, what? Tiger Woods? Okay, that's cool, but. You know, it's a sports card Hall of Fame. It's not a golf Hall of Fame. Right. So I'm saying, you know, I don't think it makes the cut.
Ooh. No, it's automatic for me because it's like following what you're saying. It's sports card Hall of Fame, but I think you're isolating strictly the hobby. This is still sports. Bottom line. So if we're talking sports card Hall of Fame, I think the GOATs. And the best card of the GOAT is in automatically, like we were just saying. Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, no matter how much you think it's saturated or whatever, Ken Griffey Upper Deck 89, like the GOATs are in. So Tiger Woods, pick a card. It's going to be the 2001 SP Authentic Auto. It has to go in. It might not be like an iconic card. Not, you know, sports card people will not understand it, but maybe general sports fans. They'll know about 86 Fleer Michael Jordan rookie, and they might know about Ken Griffey. They might obviously not know about Tiger Woods auto SP Authentic 2001. But you have Tiger's going in there 100%. No question.
Okay. I can understand that.
I think there's like a mix of, you know, let's say the top 50, right? I think there's going to be a mix of 20 to 25 like all-time GOATs and then 20 to 25 all-time sports cards like Honus Wagner. You know, I don't think people would say he's an all-time GOAT, but he's an all-time sports card, right? So I think that's
huge kind of relevance,
in my mind, that's how the top 50 is formed in terms of like Hall of Fame if we were ranking.
I like this. We should start a committee and actually get this going You know what I mean? Like, let's pitch it out there that we should have a sports card Hall of Fame. I don't know where it would be, in probably somewhere in the States, but I think it'll be cool. Maybe Topps can get behind it. Fanatics can get behind it, and then we can visit it one day. Oh, I have one more. Shohei Ohtani, 2018 Super Fractor, the pitching.
Yeah. I was going to say Shohei's...
Something.
Did you say Bowman Chrome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Bowman Chrome, yes.
Pitching, yeah. Super Fractor.
I had that in there.
How about if you could only choose one Shohei card? Would that be it?
100%. It has to be the Bowman Chrome.
2018 Bowman Chrome.
It has to be the pitching one.
Yeah. Pitching.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agreed. 100%. The Congiato.
Ooh.
How many did he
That's
sign?
That's interesting.
It was like
I don't know. He does have a couple of them, right?
Yeah.
That has got to be one of the sickest cards.
I know.
Oh, I would love to have it.
The Upper Deck Exquisite, right, with the white border and then the Congiato. Oh, nice.
Very good. Very sweet.
That's a good one. I think Shohei is like Luka. I think you could put him in the 50-50 category. Totally understand if you put him in the list. Totally understand if he's not on the list. He's a 50-50.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Any last minute nominations?
I'm
trying to think.
I'm sure there's a lot that we're missing, but
people are probably
people are shouting on there.
What about Acuña Sapphire?
I
think it's better card.
Would that make top 100?
That would make my top 100, but I just think that card is amazing. One of the best modern sports cards, period. Like, just period.
Okay.
Yeah. Visually appealing.
Yeah. Visually appealing. The set rarity, the iconic image, how good he is. You know, I mean, there's so many things that make that card so special, and like a lot of Acuña collectors, I promise they'll agree. But a lot of people, I feel like a lot of newer people that came into the hobby, they love the white jersey more than the sapphire. That's what I'm seeing. Sapphire was always more desired, but I've seen that trend in the last 5 years. It switched.
I think I would put myself in that camp. I think I would want the white jersey. And that's saying a lot, because I feel like I switched from wanting sapphire before.
Yeah, me too.
Like the chrome, you know, now for paper cards, that's iconic for me.
True story. Yeah. True story. I bought a raw card of the Acuña Sapphire, and I was scared. I've never made it like this big of a purchase on eBay. And this guy was selling a raw card, raw version. And it was listed for $19.99 US. And I was like, man, that's so steep. But then I basically asked him if he would go lower. And he was set on his price. And he told me he just sold one for the same price. And this is second listed. And he said that Acuña Sapphire, the one that I was questioning about, was in better condition than the previous one. So after he said that, I ended up buying it, and it PSA 10.
Yeah.
True story. The $2,000 raw card, PSA 10, and then I sold it to what's his name?
Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes, yeah.
Yeah,
Phil
yeah, Hughes. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I remember that
for
story.
$6,000, so I did well with it.
Wow, but that's good.
Yeah, that was the rock hard sapphire.
Good old days.
The good old days.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good story.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
In this iconic Hall of Fame, where would you guys rank the expensive cars? Like Logo Man One of Ones, Fleer, whatchamacallit, the PMGs, you know, Michael Jordan PMGs, Michael Jordan.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
LeBron, dual autos. Where do you rank those in like the top 100? Because if you rank them in there, those cards could almost make up the entire list, right?
I think that are they
iconic, and are they Hall of Fame, or are they just super expensive? Where do you put those ones on the list?
I think it needs to be a separate list, because it's not necessarily like, it's kind of like the brand,
like the so PMG.
Yeah, the PMG brand is so strong, right? So it's iconic. But then you could have any player within that PMG, right?
Yeah.
And same with First Bowman Chrome, just an iconic brand, right? And then you rank the categories of, you know, logo men, and then you could throw in like popular inserts like Color Blast, and I bet you could make a top 25 in terms of that. That would be cool.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. Like, if you start including that in the top 100, you're pushing out some monster cards.
Yeah.
Like singles.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I don't know if I can do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially with PMGs. I'm not putting any.
I'm not sold on that.
Any in the top 100.
I'm not sold on PMGs. Yeah. Like, I know you call me crazy, yeah, but it doesn't.
I
never look at them. They don't appeal to me. But I get it. Like, I guess they're nice. You know?
I'm with you, Hyung. Yeah, me too. I'm with you. It's like kind of like Kabooms to me.
Yeah. You know? Very similar, yes.
But PMGs, I think the original 97 PMGs will always have long-lasting value. Maybe not the crazy COVID-era values, but people have been collecting those, and they've been fairly expensive for a long time.
They're, for sure.
You know, years and years before COVID.
Which is a fair point, yeah.
Yeah, which is, there's a lot of hardcore collectors for the 97 set. There's a lot of hardcore collectors for like EX credentials, like some of those rare 90s inserts. So there is a crowd for that. So I think,
absolutely.
You know, I think a good compromise would be maybe, you know, the Jordan PMG, just to represent the PMGs, would get onto the list. You know,
yeah, the best player, the best card of that set, maybe sneaks into the list,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. You know what? Maybe one day, like if I have a lot of time, I'm just going to start making a list.
Actually ranking?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you get feedback from the listeners, and then you get rankings that move up and down, and it becomes like a, you know, Cards to the Moon 5 Card Guys top 100 list.
Ranking? Oh, that'd be pretty cool if you made your own ranking, and then people could submit, and then the ranking can move in different ways. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, like set like a couple of maybe unique criteria, because you know, like there are a bunch of lists out there already, and it's usually the same. You got your Mickey Mantle, you got, you know, all the ones that we grandfathered in this episode, right? So you know, you don't make it interesting somehow.
Right.
But let me sleep on it. I'll get on it when I think about it a little bit more. All right, all worthy nominations. I like this brain exercise. And we'll follow it up, you know, like maybe after.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe at the end of 2024, we're like, is there any card this year that we would nominate to go into this fictional Hall of Fame? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like Topps did with their voting. So yeah, we'll revisit it at the end of the year. Okay, let's move on to our next segment, and it's called Would You Rather? All right, so we've done this before, but it's been a while. So I want to give you guys two hobby scenarios, and you just tell me, would you rather go for A or for B? All right. So first one, the 2023 Tom Brady Bowman Draft Super Fractor non-autographed card was recently pulled, right? You know, the one that was autographed, sold on Golden Auctions recently for, I believe, $160,000. Okay. So some people are saying the non-auto version is probably going to be worth $40,000, but a quarter of the autographed version. So, would you rather have the non-auto super fractor of Tom Brady in his Expos uniform, one of one, or Tom Brady's 2000 Bowman Chrome Refractor rookie card PSA 9, which is also going for 40K. Pop count of that PSA 9 is 59, if that matters.
And how many PSA 10s are out there? Do you know?
I would have to look that up.
It has
Did
to
you
be
say Bowman, Bowman Chrome Refractor?
That has to be like 10 to 15 PSA 10s, if that.
I think so, yeah.
But man, I rather the Tom Brady Bowman 2000 Refractor.
Yeah. Really?
Give me the Bowman. Give me the Bowman Chrome as
like,
well.
If it was in Darren Fletcher's body, like, yeah. That's one thing, you know? That's just...
The fact
just
that, yeah.
Get over that.
The fact that news came out, it makes what? Just...
Yeah. It's so disappointing.
Yeah, I'm that's with just, you. The fact that news came news. Out...
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, what's the difference with, you know... The King Griffey Upper Deck 1989. It was, his hat was photoshopped.
But that's the
what's
thing. Like a lot of rookie cards are photoshopped. That's what we have to realize. Right. But I think for me, it's like the manufactured scarcity again. You're going along the lines of that, where it's the true 2000 Bowman Chrome like refractor. Like that's a big time card, and it will always be more iconic than. The Montreal Expos Tom Brady produced in 2023, you know, manufactured hype chase compared to
true.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be a sweep, but you know, I'm sure there's people out there that would choose the non-auto super refractor. I'll put that poll up there once this episode comes out. We'll see what people say. The PSA 10 version, refractor version of the 2000 Bowman Chrome, there's seven of them. Pop count seven.
Damn.
FYI, and the last sold price was $336K for that one early last year. Okay, let's go with the second would you rather question. If you had to destroy one of these subsets, okay, or one of these sets, would you rather destroy all Kabooms or all downtown cards?
Ooh.
Ooh. Man.
Will might... Yell at me for here. I'm personally more of a fan of the downtown cards, to be honest. I do like downtown, so I'm gonna say gotta get rid of the Kaboom. Sorry.
Oof. Okay.
I think this is pretty close because the Kaboom has the anime feel. It's got eye appeal. It pops really nice. I think that's what makes it really popular, similar to Color Blast. But if I were to pick the two, downtown is just maybe not as eye appealing for some of the cards, but it's just cooler for collectors because it has imagery of their city, and you know, Toronto would be like CN Tower, things like that. I think that's just such a cooler concept for a card for collectors. So yeah, get rid of the Kaboom, keep the downtown.
Wow. Okay. I'm not a huge Kaboom guy. I was just mentioning that, but I'm destroying all the downtowns. And that's, you know, like, I love downtowns too. You know, like, you know, the home field advantage when I collect it, that kind of reminds me of downtown a little bit, right? So right. I like the design of it better than Kabooms, but not all downtowns are created equal. There are some really horrific ones. And I think one of them, like, I don't know if it's Anthony Richardson, who plays for the Indianapolis Colts. Like, it has a random dinosaur in the background. Like, why? You know, like a dinosaur roaming behind like these buildings. And it's just like, you know, when I first saw it, I'm like, I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought someone like just, you know, made it up because it looked so bad. But then when I looked it up on eBay, it's actually a real card. So like, there's some really bad downtowns. So the QC on downtowns aren't the same across the board is what I'm saying. Whereas Kaboom is like,
is Indianapolis, you know, all Kabooms look the same. Is Indianapolis known to have the most dinosaur like bone discoveries in the United States? Is that why there's a significance? There must be some kind of significance. No,
they had to dig. Sorry, shout out to Indianapolis, but
they had any indie listeners maybe can message like, us, DM like, us.
What
at.
Can we find about Indianapolis? Dinosaur bones. I don't even know how you thought about that, John. That is crazy.
I mean, like, okay, even if that's true, John, right? Like, the dinosaur looks like, you know, it's a cartoon dinosaur. Like, why?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's make it look real at least, you know? So, anyway, Downtown's got to go. Okay. Third one. Would you rather attend a smaller card show at a very nice venue for a $50 entry fee or a bigger card show like at a typical conference center for your standard $15 entry fee?
What's a smaller card show? Are we talking about like just size? So quality's still there.
Quality's there, you know, you could get drinks, you know, just like the vibe is just more upscale.
Oh yeah, I'm bougie like that. Right. I'm in on the upscale. Like I think that the hobby is a little sometimes too. Yeah.
Right. $50 you just
give me the VIP
experience, that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right. Fair.
I want to see the grails.
Right.
John.
Oh, that's tough. I no, give me, as much as I would love the experience, at least try it out. $50 is pretty steep, you know, because in for perspective, right? Like $50 is not, yeah. it's fine. Like if you're getting drinks and, you know, for the value and experience, I'm sure it's completely fine. But I'm there to go trade cards and buy cards. I don't want to pay a $50 entrance fee. Just give me the raw, no frills, you know? So give me the big show. That's what I enjoy the most about attending card shows. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to go for the big show as well. I think it's part of the charm, you know, the booth that never seemed to sell anything. That, you know, it just wouldn't be the same without those guys. So I'm going with the big show, $15. Yeah, that was easy. Okay, I had two more, but I'm going to save one for my pick one, which is the next segment after this, because I forgot to think of one. So the last one for this Would You Rather segment is, would you rather have a card? You know, we're talking about utility, right? Which is the next cool thing in collecting sports cards. Would you rather have a card with the utility of meeting a pro athlete or with the utility of attending a playoff game?
Attending a playoff game for me. I think okay. that's to me. Yeah, I would do that just because I think a lot of people will choose the other though. I think that that I love that experience. I hope they do it that way. But me personally, I would pick a playoff game just because the experience. I would enjoy the game rather than meeting just an individual, I think.
How about if it was Shohei?
If it's Shohei, I'm in. Forget the playoff game. If it's Shohei Ohtani, I'm in. 100%.
Forget the Dodgers World Series game. Okay.
Now you're just, yeah. Would you rather go to the
Dodgers World Series game or meeting Shohei?
Oh, man. You're killing me.
Upping the ante.
How long is this date with Shohei?
1 hour. Yeah, no, 30 minutes.
If it's just a handshake?
Yeah, then
30 minutes, meet and greet, he'll sign a couple 30 things
minutes?
For you, you know?
No, 30 minutes not enough. I'm going World Series Dodgers.
All right, fine.
It was a... Before you mentioned Shohei, I think it was easy because for us, you know, older guys, you know, you don't fangirl as much about meeting a player. I think for any young sports fan who idolizes Sidney Crosby or something, like that would be one heck of an experience, right? But for the older listeners, I think generally speaking. I think the easy choice is taking playoff tickets. Like that's huge. Like sporting event is the biggest thing. Now, you know, you could flip flop depending on who you're meeting, right? So I could understand.
Fair enough. I personally go with the playoff game because I feel like I'm just awkward around famous people. You know what I mean? Like it's like, what do I say? You know, hey, I'm a fan. You know, like, I don't know if I would enjoy myself.
I've been
so
watching you growing up in my 30s.
I think 99% of our listeners would be in the same boat where it'd be kind of awkward with a pro. It's like, what do you even talk about?
Yeah.
That's true. All right. That's a good addition of Would You Rather. We'll do it again in a future episode. Okay, let's end off this show with pick one. And this is where we put up two cards or two sets, and then we debate which one we would rather invest in. And like I said in the previous segment, I had one saved up for that Would You Rather segment, but I wanted to say it now for my pick one, so I'll start things off. It's a more general one. Would you rather own or have a one-of-one autograph card or a one-of-one logo man card?
For me, it's easy. I'd rather have a one-of-one autograph card. Obviously player dependent, but like
Luca.
Yeah, I would rather have a one-of-one auto. Given that he signed it, nobody else. Like
not his mom.
Okay. I didn't say it. You said it. I would say one-of-one auto for me. I'm not sold on the logo man. Like, it's again that manufactured kind of like they got us hooked on that stuff. I'm telling you,
people love logo mans, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I'm hooked, man. I'm drinking that juice. Like, give me the logo man for sure.
Oh man,
if I think of like Luca flawless one of one auto or something like that, I mean that it is pretty cool, but. I think for us, the logo man, any logo man has become, you can call it gimmicky. Yeah, we can knock on it all we want, but there's something inside of us that's like, man, it would be pretty cool to own one of those. Like, because even like a cheap player is $1,000 too, you know, like these things are up there in price. It's just cards that we never dreamed of having. So even to own one. You know, maybe I am falling victim to the hype, but
I would be logo man. I would have drank the Kool-Aid for sure.
Like a Luca logo man or like a Kobe logo man? Oh.
Okay. All right. I'll break the tie. You know me, anyone that listens to the show, I'm an autograph guy. So it's easy. One of one auto. Like, logo man is just a glorified patch to me. Okay, so like,
but it's the coolest of all the patches.
See, if it was like the MLB debut patch, like where that was like LeBron's first jersey, like wow, that logo man's sick. But then you can't have like multiple logo men, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But mind you, as I'm picking it, it has to be for me. It has to be like the flawless. I love the flawless one, the white background, like the one that pops. I'm not talking about like Spectra logo man, like none of those ones.
Okay. All right. Well, that's my pick one. Let's go next.
All right. I'm going to go back to our buddy Kenny. He gave me two that week we were talking.
Okay.
But this was valid because I thought it would have brought up a good point because... I thought it was a no-brainer when I was thinking about it, but then there are instances where if I went the other way, it would have benefited me more than the other way. So I'll explain it. So he basically asked, this is just in a pure flip example. So let's just say you're buying in the off season, you're looking to flip in 3-4 months or 2 months or whatever it may be. Would you rather have just a base refractor PSA 10? So let's just say a Bowman Chrome, even auto, base refractor PSA 10, or a True Blue at a 150 PSA 10. Now, given you gotta make sure apples to apples, so you're paying a lot more for the True Blue, right? So his argument or his, I guess, backing was that sometimes liquidity in a true blue may not occur. You might not have any comps. It might be too rare. Whereas the refractors, you're seeing more of those sales, let's just say. So it doesn't even have to be autos. It could just be in like just a Topps Chrome or whatever. But I thought it was valid because you have comps for refractors, right? Whereas a True Blue, you might not have a comp and your buy-in might have been high and that flip potential might not as be as has been as high given that there's no comps, right? So
I get it. Yeah.
What would you guys pick in a flip situation? Would you go for the cheaper card that's easier to liquidate, or would you go more rare like a True Blue and pay more, I guess a premium?
Yeah. For me, I think it's pretty easy in a short term situation. I would pick the refractor. It's not as sexy. It is certainly, like Hyung mentioned, easier to sell because of the fact that more of them are selling and there's like sort of like a defined market value. But there's also like in a short-term scenario, we also have to kind of think about, remember we used to talk a lot about ratios? Mm-hmm. And like it's like, I guess maybe the concept is sort of like sports cards, economies of scale. So, you know, let's say there's a hot flash in the pan, Ellie De La Cruz. He was like an okay prospect, comes out bombing like he did a year and a half ago or whatever. And his cards are just exploding, right? Like in a short flash situation, I think people are, again, economies of scale, right? People are willing to spend a certain amount of money to kind of try it out. Oh yeah, like $500 for a refractor. I'll throw money at that. Oh, it costs $600 now. I'll throw money at that.
Good point.
But a blue refractor at $4,000, like the appetite for that doesn't quite get there until said player builds that confidence in an investor's mind to more established to spend more money, right? So when you look at comps, right, for example, like Luka Prism Gold is $500,000 and the silver is $2,000, so it's like, you know, the ratio should be 500x. So like a Nikhil Alexander Walker is $20 for a silver. That means his gold out of 10 should be worth, you know, 55,000. No, it doesn't work that way because there's not enough establishment for somebody to want to spend $55,000 on Nikhil Alexander. But $20? Yeah, I'll do that, right? So I think in a short-term situation, you also have to kind of think about that whole sort of sports card economies of scale. And I think it's obvious like the cheaper cards will move up in value the quickest until, you know, let's say Ellie hits 40 home runs. Then obviously at that point, people get really confident. Yeah, he's the one. He's like the next big guy. I'm spending big money on him. I'm going to go for the blue at 2,500 or 3,500 or whatever. But in a true short-term scenario, it's an easy one. It's the refractor.
Interesting. Valid.
Yeah, I think I think everything John says I agree with. So it's in the short term, like when I look at what I'm looking forward to buying, like I'm looking for the colored lower numbered parallel, but like it's for the mid to long term flip, if anything. You know what I mean? Right. Like I'm not intending to do a short flip. Right. So and it's to John's point, it's players that I believe in for the longer term, mm-hmm. you know? So for the short term, I guess the ceiling might be lower, obviously, right? With the lower price point. But I think there's, you know, way you can still make profit, you know, with these quick flips. Yeah. So I'm also going with the refractor, especially with that short term kind of condition.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the buy-in price as well. Because if you're getting a really good deal on refractors pretty cheap, but people are paying premiums for true blue color, I think the buy-in obviously is going to take in a factor. But I agree with you guys where if it's strictly for a flip, you know, and I know I'm going to flip it and it's just a money-making process and I want to guarantee that money, refractor is probably the safest and most liquid at that point, both ways, right? Even when it's losing, you'll still have comps if in a bear market and you have a rare card, you don't even know what to sell it at. People are gonna lowball you even more than the current comps of a refractor, right? So I think for a flip, I would definitely go refractor, but you know, True Blue. Who I would end up buying the True Blue anyways, just because, you know, it just looks better, and then it's not even about that, right? So it's, I would still
it's a color match.
Blue. Yeah, I'd probably still buy the True Blue. Who am I kidding?
I like that one though. Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. Made me think.
Okay.
All right, Johnny.
Mine is actually along the same theme. So we're going to go investment only. So put your investment cap on and short term. Mm-hmm. So this season only. And I'm going to pair two players together. Would you rather for this season only, investment wise, so a short term flip, Vladdy and Corbin Carroll or J-Rod and Tatis?
Wow.
Which side would you pick? So there's two players, you know, what each side has a sort of a hype player that might lose value this year more. And each side also has a buy low player, whether or not you believe they will rebound.
I'll go. I think for me, it's easy. I'm going to go J-Rod Tatis. And well, as much as I like, obviously I believe in Vladdy. I believe in what he's going to do. Corbin Carroll too. Like, he's a heck of a player, but for me, I don't see the ceiling I see with guys like J-Rod and Tatis. Like, I literally think these guys are going to be like the next like super superstars, right? So I think Vladdy has a chance. I think Corbin Carroll is going to be solid, but I don't think on the levels of Tatis and J-Rod. And I think Tatis's price is so down that there's a good chance that, you know, if he pans out and he does well, that, you know, and we don't know the future of how people are going to react to the whole PEDs and stuff like that. You know, I know it's been tough for guys like Barry Bonds, but we could also say we never know when Barry Bonds cards are going to pop. You know what I mean?
True.
This guy was one of the greatest hitters of all time, period. He, if not the greatest hitter of all time. Like, I will say Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter of all time, period. So, yeah, like, that's the type of players I really like. And I think it's more sided with guys like Tatis and J-Rod, even though J-Rod's prices are probably higher. But same with Corbin Carroll. I think his might be a little inflated. And then Vladdy's on the other side is probably pretty cheap, right? So, yeah, I'm going to go Tatis, J-Rod.
And Tatis had a pretty good season, right? It wasn't horrible, I don't think.
I would say it wasn't like Vladdy, MVP, Tatis MVP,
obviously.
No, but it was below, really below average, I would say. I would say it would be equivalent to Vladdy doing the same thing this year with that. So I think Tatis was like way below average, or his standards at least.
Right. I was going to say, like, it was decent. Yeah. Same thing with Vladdy, but you're expecting way more from
both those players. Yeah. If you're in the 700s in OPS, like, that's a really bad season for these guys. Like, you need them in the 900s.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, for me, it's like, you know, it's almost like a fantasy thing, right? Like, when I'm looking to trade or like what's a better value, I always go for who has the best ceiling. And for me, that's J-Rod right now. Like, I'm so bullish on J-Rod. I'm always looking at his prices, but they're pretty high still for what I want to pay for it. But I think J-Rod could take the next step. You know, like, I think he's that kind of player. And then, you know, you have Tatis as a kicker, like Kyung mentioned. He's so low right now that even if he gets somewhat close to his, you know, his dominant season, 2-3 seasons back, then that could pop, right? So I think I'm going to go with the J-Rod Tatis side. Yeah, for those reasons. And plus, I'll say this. I invested in Vladdy, and I thought last year would be the season where he just pops, and I just can't get burnt 2 years in a row. And of course, this is going to be his MVP season, right?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Totally.
You know it.
Yeah.
You heard it.
He sold us too.
Three Torontonians, not even about to. Yeah. Well, you guys obviously, you probably know where I'm headed. I'm always, I like rolling the dice a bit. J-Rod, I think Clarky, you're probably a lot more bullish. Like, I don't own anything J-Rod. I think he's mm-hmm. a fantastic player. And I honestly thought he was going to not play as well last year, but he played pretty darn well. That's so
awesome. Yeah.
I just think J-Rod has the most risk for his card to correct of the four, even more, right? If he has another like solid season, I could see his card just going down and correcting. He needs to have some sort of spectacular, a handful of spectacular moments and or season. But still, I would rather, same reasons as you guys said, that ceiling. The ceiling is so tempting, right? Even Tatis, his cards are so low. I there's a lot of people because of the PEDs, that's like a hard no. They're like completely off Tatis, you know, swearing at him and just, you know, but I'm not of that camp. I'm still a Tatis fan and I hope it'll still be fine, but I feel like Tatis kind of reminds me of Ja Morant. So as much as he gets clowned on and, you know, his values might go down and people are like, what is he doing? Head scratching. And he comes back one game and does like, he just dunks on somebody just like Ja did. And then everybody's like, oh my gosh, Ja Morant's like the craziest. Yeah. I feel Tatis has that in him, right? I think J-Rod and Tatis got that ceiling is so tempting. So yeah.
Yeah.
Give me, I'm like going with you guys. It's a 3-0.
Sweet. Good one. I like that one too. All right. That's a wrap for this episode. As always, we appreciate all you listeners and subscribers. And we'll have a brand new episode for you guys next week. Talk to you then. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.